Matthew chapter number 2. I'm going to read down through here just a little ways. Beginning in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Familiar passage of Scripture. I want to look at seven or eight things here, probably about seven things here today. And the first thing, in verse number 1 and 2, the wise men. It says, they came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men. Wise men were seeking Jesus Christ. The world's full of people that people would say are wise. You know, worldly speaking, carnally speaking, we say, you know, I keep hearing all the time, you know, Elon Musk, the smartest man in the world. People think he got great wisdom. And then, you know, go back to somebody like Charles Darwin. A lot of folks think he had some great knowledge and great wisdom. And he was actually just a Bible-rejecting clown. He really didn't know what was going on. Then people talk about Einstein, and Einstein, oh, it's the theory of relativity and all this thing, these things that they attribute to Einstein. When Einstein said he couldn't believe in a God, that wasn't a mathematical equation. Crazy stuff. But the world would look at them as wise. And I say that God sees wisdom differently than men. And worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. But the wisdom of the wise men seek truth. And Jesus Christ is truth. And they came and they sought Jesus Christ. And wise people still seek Jesus Christ today. So the wise men... you notice they weren't, well, I noticed on the way to church today, we drove past some Amish, and they had like probably 30 carriages, things in their driveway. And I'm thinking, good night, if the Baptist had to hitch up a horse to get to church, and I don't even think the preacher would make it, amen. Baptists wouldn't even go to church, amen. We've got the truth. We've got the truth. We've got the Savior. We've got eternal security. We've tried to rightly divide. We've got the truth, and they'll put more effort out to get someplace where, maybe they don't have the truth, and a lot of folks will to get to the truth, but the wise men were seeking truth. The interesting thing about the wise men also is they understood the Jewish scripture more than the Jews did. So a lot of God's chosen people weren't wise. They had left the truth, and they were following false gods and false things, false beliefs. They'd taken on false gods, all these things. But the wise men from the east, they sought the truth. And in verse number 3 it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now we see the worried king. The worried king, why is he worried? Well, because he's king. And he wants to keep his office. And does this sound familiar? We've got presidents, but presidents don't want to leave their office, amen? They want to do as much damage as they can, it seems like, when they get in there and bamboozle the people and get whatever they can get out of whatever, the power. They have a thirst for power, and this king had a thirst for power. But you notice it said, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. How about that? You know what happened when Jesus Christ came on the scene? Not just the king was troubled, but the Jews were troubled. Because here's this king. And, you know, I think they understood a little bit more than they let on. They were looking for they were expecting a king, according to the Word of God, that would judge righteous judgment. But in their sin and in their wickedness and in their lack of repentance toward God, they didn't want a king that would judge righteously. They wanted a king that was maybe a little bit of a sinner like them that they could get along with. But that wasn't the king that was born that day. He that was born king of the Jews, born in that manger, the animal stable, was born the perfect, righteous, holy Son of Almighty God. And he lived a perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life and paid your debt on Calvary. But the wise men were seeking the truth. The worried king was worried about losing his position. And in 4 through 8, it talks about the wicked plan. He says, hey, tell me when he was born. Where did this star appear? So Herod's digging in a little bit. So if I could figure out when the star appeared. And by the way, when the wise men get to him, he's not in a manger, a little baby. And it doesn't say there are 3 wise men either. It doesn't say how many wise men there are. It says there's 3 gifts. Now, my money is there's a very limited amount of wise men, because there are very, very limited amount of wise men in this world. But we don't know for sure there were 3. There were 3 gifts is what we know for sure. But the wicked plan of Herod was to find out when he was born, where he's at, and destroy him. Because Herod's a type of the Antichrist. It's interesting to me because that spirit of Antichrist, for some reason, is able to work in people today, lost and saved. I don't say everybody's preaching the word or preaching from a pulpit's lost, but I think a lot of saved people are not preaching the truth. I think a lot of blood-bought, born-again preachers aren't preaching the truth. Why? Because they want the glory. They want the power. And the truth is, we're all wicked as the devil. We should be burning in hell. Without Jesus Christ's righteousness on our account, that's where we'd be right now. Glory to His name, not to the pastor, or the bishop, or the pope, or the what have you. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, all that stuff. It's all God. But this wicked plan was to get rid of the truth. And the devil has not let up on that plan. He wants to get rid of the truth. If you're here today, you have probably had somebody say, well, I don't believe that is the right Bible. I believe this might be the right Bible. Or this is easier to understand. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to get rid of the truth. He wants you to doubt the truth. He wants you to not be able to identify the truth. He wants you to have questions in your mind about the truth. I believe I have the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I believe Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the Word of God. It is, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the truth. But the devil wants, in his wicked plan, to get rid of truth. And that's what Herod said. I can still be king if I can get rid of this guy. Now look. I understand Israel had some young kings like Josiah, but this is a young child that's probably not, and the king's already threatened by this young child because he knows what a lot of preachers don't understand today, that that king is coming to rule and reign on a physical throne, and he was happening to be on that throne at that time. Herod did. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe the millennial reign. I don't believe there's going to be a physical reign of Jesus Christ. You got to throw out a lot of Bible. Because the Bible says he'll rule and reign on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he'll do it for 1,000 years. And it doesn't just say it in Revelation. It doesn't just intimate it or hint at it in the New Testament. It talks about it all through the Old Testament. Whether you're looking at Jeremiah or Zechariah or Zephaniah or Malachi, we're looking at the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years. You know what upsets people? The fact that the final authority is going to be on this earth. Well, we've got it now. But you can close this one up and put it up. And never look at it. When Jesus Christ is on this earth, They won't have that option. Because if they don't come and keep the feast days, they won't have rain, and they'll have the plagues. They'll have all kinds of problems going on because they're not submitting to the truth. Or right now, the world's gearing up for the Antichrist, and we're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Call us out of here. But the whole world is set up on a Herod mode. They want to get rid of the truth. The United Nations, they don't want the truth. Two-thirds of our, probably 90% of our quote-unquote leadership in the United States, they don't want the truth. What they want is power. They're power-hungry. They're power-driven. They're self-absorbed and self-righteous and self-edifying. They're all about self. And the truth is, it's all about Jesus Christ. And one day, when He steps down on this earth, it's going to be all about Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. And a lot of people won't like it because He'll rule and reign with a rod of iron. He'll always be right. He'll judge righteous judgment, which does not happen anymore. Very seldom do people even get close to righteous judgment. But the wicked plan was to get rid of Jesus Christ, to get rid of the truth. And you know, the devil doesn't mind if you talk about Jesus, but he doesn't want you to worship Him. He doesn't mind if you mention baby Jesus once or twice a year, but he doesn't want you to submit to Him and call on Him for salvation. And the devil doesn't mind, even if you're saved, he can't do anything else about it. The devil doesn't mind if you have the truth. He just doesn't want you to read it. And if you read it, he doesn't want you to submit to it. He doesn't want you to be like Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to walk in the footsteps of Paul. He wants you to be religious. Because the spirit that was in Herod is still in the spirit today, the world today. That spirit of Antichrist is still going strong. It's going in Paul's day too, and it's going still today. The wicked plan is to get rid of the truth. Look at 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The way of truth. You know what the way of truth is? It was a light that led them to Jesus Christ. You know why this is the most revered and the most hated book in the world? Because it's a light that leads people to Jesus Christ. You know why people don't like preaching out of the Word of God? Because it's a light that lifts up Jesus Christ. You know why people hate street preachers? Because they're willing to lift up Jesus Christ and shine the light of truth on a lost and dying world in public. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But that light, that star that led them to Jesus Christ, here's your light that leads you to Jesus Christ. It's not some religion. It's not some church tradition. It's not some dogma on some creed or some membership role or anything like that. It's not in water baptism. It's not in your good works. Praise the God. The Lord's good works is what get us to heaven. It's not in that. The truth is, Jesus Christ is exposed to a lost and dying world by the words of God. Now, I hear people all the time, well, how do you know your religious writings are the right ones? Well, read them. Pray about it and see if it's right. But what if the Muslims are right? Well, if they're right, they got the wrong book. If they're right, they're following the wrong God. If they're right, they got the wrong idea of God, the wrong idea of salvation, the wrong idea of eternity. So which part of that's right? And find out all these writings, those alleged writings come up, and they are perverted knockoffs of what God says. And people won't check into religion. What they check into is their feelings. I feel like this must be right. I feel like if there was a God, this is the way He would be. I feel like if God, the Creator, if there is a God, then He loves everybody and everybody's all right. But they won't open the book and see what it actually says. So that way of truth is a path led by the light of truth. And people don't like truth. A lot of born-again believers don't like truth. Because if you hear the truth, then you have to be convicted. And if you're convicted, then God wants you to get right. And if you get right, sin's pleasurable for a season. You've got to get rid of your sin to be right. And you can ignore and pretend like there's no God and maybe have some pleasurable sin for a season. But ultimately, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ as a born-again believer and give an account. You must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost and on your way to hell and you reject the truth, you'll stand at the white throne of judgment. Your name won't be written in the book, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire forever. That's another thing people don't like. They don't like the truth. They don't like the truth about Jesus Christ being the final authority. They don't like the truth about the final destination of the unbeliever being a lake of fire. They try to explain it away and pretend like it's not real. But the way of truth, the light of God, shines on Jesus Christ. It doesn't shine on the Baptist. It shines on Jesus Christ. It doesn't illuminate the preacher or the people in the pews. It illuminates the Savior. You say, well, how do you believe that book? That book's written by men. You get 40 men or whatever to write a book all those years apart in different continents talking about how wicked man is and how righteous God is? I don't think so. If you get one man to write about their wickedness, I'd be surprised. But 40? Or 44 or however many, I can't remember now. But you get all those people to write that book. You know what this book is about? This book is about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. I mean, we're in the salvation of the church age. Praise the Lord for that. But God's ultimate plan was for His Son to rule and reign over His chosen people, Israel. And you know what's going to happen? His Son is going to rule and reign over His chosen people, Israel. Praise the Lord. The way of truth. Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him, the worshiping of the Son. They didn't fall down and worship them. They didn't fall down and say, Mary, can I worship your Son? They didn't fall down and say, Mary, how do I get to the Lord? How do I get to heaven? How do I find this eternal life? Mary, tell us. Tell us truth. They fell down and worshiped Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary has been elevated since then to a point of deity. Even a point where she's been elevated in some belief systems above Jesus Christ. But wise men don't worship Mary. They worship Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The worshiping of the Son. You know, we're here today. You know what God likes? God likes when you're singing the songs that glorify His Son and your heart is joyful about the Son. That glorifies the Father. It satisfies the Father. It's pleasing to the Father. Look at the warning of the Father in verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they parted into their own country another way. You know what the warning was? The wise men sought truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And when they found the truth, they said, don't go back the way you came. Amen. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, don't go back the way you came. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back to Herod. You know what people were doing? They were worshiping Herod. Herod's a type of the devil. Don't go back to Herod. Amen. Hey, once you're saved, once you're blood-bought born again, once you realize that you have eternal life and you have it because of the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, don't turn back to the things of the world. The warning of the Father. Look at 13 and 14. Isn't the Bible an amazing book? You ever read through here? I read through here the other day and said, I can't believe that's in there. I've read that 100 times. There's just stuff in here all the time, new stuff all the time. 13 and 14. And when the departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there, till I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know what it says there? It says, take him into Egypt. You know, it's the will of the Father. Now listen, Herod was in Jerusalem. He told Joseph to take Jesus away from the Jews into the world. The Jews wanted him gone before he was ever on the throne. You know what the Lord did? He came into his own and his own received him not. You know what the Father said? Go into the world. Egypt's the type of the world. Do you know where Jesus is now? He's in the world saving whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's saving anybody that'll trust Him as Lord and Savior. He decided to not deal with Jerusalem and go to the world. But you know what? Eventually, the Father calls him out of Egypt. Guess what? We're leaving Egypt. Hey, if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son, God's Spirit lives in you, indwells you, and one of these days soon, hopefully today, praise the Lord, He's going to call your name, and you're going to leave through the air, and you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We're going to leave this world. He's going to call us out of Egypt. You know one thing Jesus and His family didn't do when they were in Egypt? They didn't become part of Egypt. They didn't belong in Egypt. You know where they belong? They belonged in the will of the Father. We don't belong in Egypt. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You're dead. Praise the Lord. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My treasures, hey, our treasures aren't in finances. They're not in friendships. They're not in power. They're not in prestige. They're not in the things of this world. Our treasures are in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and that fire cell goes on, whatever makes it through the fire, whatever is good, clean, and right, that glorifies God, that you have at the end of that, whatever treasures you have, whatever crowns you have, whatever rewards you have, will be because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because nobody without the blood of Christ can do anything to please the Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Look back at verse 11. The wise men, the worried king, the wicked plan, the way of truth, the worshiping of the Son, the warning of the Father, the will of the Father. Verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasure, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried to furnish the earth purified seven times. This book is important. Every word in it has a meaning, has a purpose, has all kinds of there's all kinds of power in the Word of God. Everything's got a meaning. God doesn't just write things down sometimes like we do as fillers. Every word in there has something for you. It's a message from God. And the reason they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh is because God wants you to know today that gold is deity. He was born King of the Jews. Gold is deity. Frankincense in the Old Testament, it's in Leviticus chapter number 24, verse 7. Frankincense. When they had the shewbread, now listen, the shewbread was two rows of six breads. That's 12 for the tribes of Israel. And they were to put frankincense on that bread for a burnt offering. You know what that frankincense was? It was a sacrifice that pleased the Father. Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews. He was not only a sacrifice, He was the only sacrifice that would eternally please the Father. That's the frankincense. You know what the myrrh was? The myrrh was part of their embalming process because the King of the Jews was born to please the Father and then die for the sins of the world. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. That's death clothes. They give him myrrh, and that myrrh represents the death that he came to allow himself to go through so you and I could have eternal life. I mean, you've got the manger scene, you've got the three wise men. Like I said, we don't know there are three. There might have been two, there might have been four, there might have been five. One of them might have been four of them, one of them was a cheapskate, didn't bring a gift, I don't know. But they had at least three gifts, right? Gold and frankincense and myrrh, because they were bringing gold to the king. He was going to be a sacrifice for the Father that was pleasing to the Father, and he was going to die the death you and I deserve to die. Oh, everybody says, I want to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? I'll get me a little pink bracelet that says WWJD, and a grown man running around with a pink bracelet with WWJD. Oh, that's crazy. But I'll get me a pink bracelet or a green bracelet or an orange. Oh, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? People don't know enough Bible to know what Jesus would do. You know what a lot of people say Jesus would do? We wouldn't preach on hell. Oh, Jesus preached on hell more than he did heaven. Well, he wouldn't preach against the religious people. Jesus Christ spent most of his ministry preaching against the religious people of Israel. Well, he wouldn't talk about somebody else's religion. He truthfully trashed all the religions that were around him. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, Jesus Christ would just be all love because God is love, and he would never hurt anybody's feelings. You know what he said? He told the woman at the well, go get your husband. You know what he knew? She had seven of them. And the one she was with wasn't even her husband. Well, maybe that upset her. You know what he told the woman that came to him that wanted healing? It's not meat for God to cast the food to the dogs, the children's food to the dogs. Wow. What a polite message. You know, he just spoke the truth. Without our dogs, without our evil workers. Because anybody outside of Israel and their system in the Old Testament was not a people. They were godless heathens. They were considered dogs, less than human, by God's chosen people. They weren't even trying to find the truth. You know what she said? Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. I'd say she wasn't real thin-skinned, amen. She took the dog comment and said, "You're right, I'm a dog." I think that's why people don't get saved today, because they don't want to admit they're dogs. They don't want to admit they're wicked. They don't want to admit they're wrong. Well, I think I'm pretty good, and I think if God just, if he really looks at my record, I think that I could probably stand before him and justify myself by saying, "Well, look at all the stuff I didn't do wrong." Well, how's that work? How's that work? Ask the serial killers in court. Killed 75 people. How many people that I didn't, though? Hey, if you're guilty, you're guilty. That Bible says if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. So if you ever told a lie, you ever stole anything, you ever lusted after a woman in your heart, you ever committed a false witness, any of that stuff, you're guilty. So it's a little white lie. God don't see white lies. God sees truth and lie. He sees righteousness and unrighteousness. He sees holiness and unholiness. He doesn't have this great big gray area that you might fit in when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, or the judgment. He don't see that gray area. He sees a line, and you're on his side or the other side. Amen. Well, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would tell him the truth. And by the way, Jesus, most of his ministry was to the Jew. Tell him about a kingdom. Tell him, "Hey, I'm your king, and I'm going to rule and reign here." But the Jews rejected him. What would Jesus do? Well, let's see, what would Jesus do? Well, gold's for deity. So if you want to live to please God and want to be pleasing to Jesus, don't you think he ought to have power over your gold? Amen? I'm not talking about putting stuff in a church offering so you can relax. I'm not talking about that. He's preaching on tithing. No, I'm not preaching on offerings, tithing. Don't you think he ought to control your gold? So, well, I make $50,000 a year and I want to spend $200,000 a year. I can just do that with plastic. You think that pleases God? I'm just saying, we're supposed to be good stewards. We talked about this, owe no man nothing, borrower servant to the lender. Talking about being, you know, what he has given you, if God gave it to you, he gave it to you to be a blessing to the cause of Jesus Christ. He didn't give it to you so you could have one of those ugly Tesla trucks or something like that. Amen? You got one of them, good night, you could still get saved probably. But that, what an ugly truck. But he didn't give it to you to spend $300,000 on a vehicle or $150,000. He gave it to you to see what he wants you to do with your money and do it. Give him your gold. You're bought with a price. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Peter said. So he should have your gold. If you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to follow God, please the Father, he should have your gold. That frankincense represents an incense that God's nostrils were pleased with. It was a sacrifice. You should sacrifice for Jesus Christ. We'll sacrifice for our spouse. We'll sacrifice for our families. We'll sacrifice for our job. We'll sacrifice for a house, a car, or whatever. We'll sacrifice, but most people won't sacrifice for God. Most people give God a little bit out of their abundance and won't sacrifice for God. And we're all guilty of it one time or another. Amen. How do I know that? Because I live with me. Amen. The other day I had, I don't know, probably 10, 12 Spanish tracts in my pocket. Give a couple of them out. Sometimes it's kind of odd when you have to chase them down, but sometimes I'll chase them down. If the Lord says, give them a track, give them a track. But sometimes every once in a while I'll go, I don't want to do that. Don't feel like it. I don't want the opposition today. I'm not in the mood to be ridiculed. I'm not in the mood to be mocked and made fun of today. I'm not willing to sacrifice that. So for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then later, when I'm getting in the car with tracts that he said to hand out, but I didn't, so what would Jesus do? Well, he would go to Calvary and he would lay his life down so the world could have eternal life. And I wouldn't be uncomfortable for 10 seconds to tell somebody, here's what the Bible says about how to get to heaven. You better trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. See, we're not willing to sacrifice, but if you're willing to please God, willing to follow Jesus Christ, you'll give him the gold. He is the deity. You'll give him control over the purse strings. You'll make a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. And the myrrh represents death. So you've got deification, sanctification, and mortification. Mortify your members. Take up your cross and follow him. Everybody likes to say, oh, take up your cross and follow him. They sing songs about it, kumbaya and all this stuff. But you know what that means? That means you die to yourself, and it's not about what this flesh wants. It's about what God wants, and this flesh is just along for the ride. And I'm going to take it kicking and screaming in the right direction sometimes. Amen. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. You know most people don't want to go to church? They love the gold. They worship the gold. They bow down to the 401k. They bow down to all the finances and power of this world. They don't want to make a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. They don't want to make a sacrifice. They don't want to die to self. And they don't want somebody else speaking a word of God convicting them that they're not doing those things. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, man, this church needs it. We need this. And about halfway through the message, the Lord's just kicking me around the block. You think I bring up the track things because I planned on it? No, the Lord's like, yeah, I remember the other day when you didn't hand the track to Jose over there? Yeah. Amen? Remember the other day when I kicked the door off the hinges and somebody said, I'm lost, and you said, oh, well, good luck, you know. Or you said, well, if you go down the two blocks, take a right, and you know, three blocks, take a left, and you'll be at whatever. I'm lost. I used to be, but I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord. Maybe you shouldn't read about the Lord. Merry Christmas. Sometimes you have to open the door. Sometimes God kicks it off the hinges. You ever rejected the door that was kicked off the hinges? I mean, sometimes people just open it up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like I'm dying here. I've got all these problems, and I don't know. The doctors tell me they don't have an answer, and they don't know, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got the other, and you're like, well, we'll pray for you. How about giving the truth? You're probably talking to somebody that is close to hell. Amen. I just wish my life had purpose. Well, look at the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. You want what the purpose are? Look at baby Jesus. Look at the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. You want to be like Jesus? Give him the gold. You want to please the Father? Make the sacrifice. You want to walk with God? Die to yourself. Amen. The wise men, they understood some things that most of God's people didn't. You know what I think happened today? Wise men understand some things that a lot of God's people don't. And I think you can look at those three things and figure it out. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've got a body, soul, and a spirit. You've got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't think this is by mistake. But he is the deity. He's worth the sacrifice. And you're never going to please him without dying yourself. Never. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Be honest. Don't look around. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now, if you died right now, you'd split hell wide open. You'd be like the rich man in the story of Lazarus and the rich man begging for somebody to touch the tip of your tongue with water, and that water will never come. Maybe you should just call on Christ today. That Bible says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not about the Baptist. It's not about your church membership. It's not about your water baptism. It's about your heart and whether you called on Christ from the heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Forgive me and save me. Not from the mind, from the heart. God has a way of dangling you over that heat and says, look, you're guilty. You're guilty. And if you drew your last breath right now, you'd split hell wide open. You'd be tormented in flames. You'd be looking for water. You'd be begging for mercy. And that mercy would never come. But you can have mercy today by calling on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's about nine close. We have a few more minutes here. You've never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, please call on him today. Oh, Lord, help. If you're here today, maybe you've trusted Christ. You know where you're going. Praise the Lord. You can sing these songs about eternity and I've got a mansion and all this stuff, but you're not living the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Maybe you're guilty of one. Maybe you're guilty of two. Maybe you're guilty of all three. If you're guilty of the third, not dying to self, you're probably guilty of all three. Gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Do business with God if he's done business with you.